Hey there, everyone. Good morning and, well, good afternoon, good evening, whatever you may be listening to the Morning Cup of Joe podcast. I appreciate you tuning in no matter where you're located, no matter where or how you may be listening. So no intro to this podcast today. I want to start off by saying that good amount of listens to the episode about growing up with an alcoholic father. That ended up being way tougher than I thought it was going to be as far as recording some of that content. But I've got a totally different topic for today. And this is the topic of TV meteorologists, broadcast meteorologists specifically, and tornado situations. So for those of you tuning in, it is currently Saturday, March the 25th, and last night and into probably the very early part of this morning, there was a tornado outbreak in Mississippi. Now, I don't know exactly how many tornadoes touched down or anything like that, but there was one that was significant and catastrophic and just absolutely devastated a small town in Mississippi called Rolling Fork. And then there's a tornado going into Amory, a very strong, devastating tornado going into Amory at some point last night as well. So I'm kind of just waking up to this, and it's a little bit before 6 o'clock in the morning. And I wanted to talk about this because just watching some of the video and seeing some of the tweets from meteorologists and the storm chasers that I follow and the storm chasers that I think do a great job. The videos and the couple of clips that I've seen from a broadcast meteorologist, it has me shook a little bit this morning. These situations are a nightmare scenario, especially late at night when these tornadoes happen. Man, Dixie Alley, you know, states like Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Kentucky, you know, really just that part of the South has been just decimated, it seems like, over the past couple of years with several different tornado outbreaks. I feel for those people, and certainly praying that everyone impacted last night is okay this morning. I know that lives were lost in Rolling Fork, and even though none of them might be listening to this, I'm sending my prayers and everything their way this morning. So here's the deal. These situations, like I said, are a nightmare scenario, and as a broadcast meteorologist, it is such a difficult situation, and there are so many meteorologists and in so many different markets that I've seen, small markets, big markets, across the board, that do such a fantastic job in these situations. I do want to give a huge and massive shout out to any broadcast meteorologist that was covering the devastation last night. No matter, you know, I'm certainly praying for your guys' mental health as well, because I'm sure it can be very rattling. So before I play this clip, I just want all of you to know that when, just a little personal background for situations like this for me. So this wasn't a original kind of passion for me as far as concise communication and doing my best to keep people safe in a situation like this. That wasn't necessarily at the top of my mind when I got into this industry. And my perspective in regards to covering severe weather and specifically tornadoes has completely changed over the past 5 years that I've been involved as a doing broadcast weather. And I would say that my passion obviously still lies with weather, and I still have a love for weather, but being exposed to and being a little bit more in tune with all of the tornado outbreaks that happen, the hurricanes, not just in the United States, but across the globe, different weather situations, I am much more in tune to what's going on. And a new passion has, developed. It's keeping people safe. It's communicating in these really difficult situations to the best of my ability. That means so much to me. And why that is, and I guarantee you almost just about any broadcast meteorologist that you would ever talk to in your life would probably say the same exact thing that I am saying to you right now. And the reason that it is this way for us, we don't even have to grow up in an area. It's the people in the community that we care about so much. We are obviously here to educate when it comes to weather, how it works, how things come about, why tornado outbreaks like this happen, why hurricanes happen. We're here to educate, and we're also here to educate on how, you at home can be best prepared for situations such as these. Now, I am not fully aware of just what it's like in the part of Mississippi that was hit, but I do know that Mississippi has a lot of small towns that have, mobile homes and trailer homes, which are the most dangerous places that you can be. That's the most dangerous place that you can be in a tornado situation, is a trailer home or a mobile home. That's why we say if you are in one of those in a situation like that, that you need to have a tornado shelter that you can go to. And you also need to just have a neighbor or a friend's house that you can go into their basement, whatever it may be. But there are also tornado shelters around the U.S., and a lot of them. And Craig Cece, hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. You guys can, I want to give a huge shout out to him. Because of the work that he's done. So you can find him at CC_stormwatch, all one word for Stormwatch, on Twitter. And it's pinned at the top of his Twitter page. He has a Google map put together of tornado shelters, public tornado shelters that you can go to in situations like this to, be safe in a situation that can, ultimately, absolutely save your life. And anyway, I want to give a huge shout out to Craig because he's done a ton of work on that sort of thing. And so that's a great bit of information. And again, goes back to the education to, give people all the information possible so that they can be safe in a situation like this. But because we care so much about the people in our community. And before I get more into, I guess I will kind of circle back to the point that I was getting at with Mississippi. There's a lot of areas in Mississippi, and I think maybe, a couple of towns that may have been hit last night, maybe have some of this situation as well. But there are not a lot of wealthy cities. There are cities that have high rates of poverty, low income, and those are, you know, people that, you know, fall into that and that are not, you know, did not grow up and are not living a privileged life. Those are some of the most important people as far as trying to get information out to them. And it's a work in progress for the meteorology community because, again, our goal is to save as many lives. We want every single tornado, no matter how big or small that tornado is, to end up with a fatality count of zero every single time. That is the ultimate goal. And it comes from work by the National Weather Service in issuing tornado warnings and doing all of the amazing work that they do in these situations. It comes from broadcast meteorologists that are communicating to people on live television on where they need to be, where the tornado is heading, calling out landmarks, calling out specific locations that anyone in the community can relate to, like calling out what gas station is at an intersection that the tornado is heading towards, just as an example. And it comes from also the storm chasers that don't just do it for a thrill. They do it for the education aspect, learning more and more each time they chase about tornadoes. They, of course, want to intercept and capture a video of tornadoes. But, I mean, I've seen a couple of different tweets from storm chasers this morning. A lot of times they are going to end up being the first ones on scene after a tornado hits a small town, especially if that small town does not have any immediate hospital or any immediate, EMS, anything in that regard as far as being able to save people immediately. And I saw a couple of different tweets from storm chasers saying that, you know, they helped people out of the rubble. They helped to rescue people that were trapped and took people to the nearest hospital. I want to give a shout out to those storm chasers as well. That's, that's God's work right there for sure. And anyway, so these towns in Mississippi, some of them at the very least, it's just, it becomes even more devastating because of, you know, the situation that they are in financially and the structures that they live in and things of that nature. It breaks my heart. It really does. And I've just going through some of the tweets, I mean, I've been in tears a little bit. But this matters so much to myself and, 99% of meteorologists in the industry of TV. Because, again, it's the people of the community that we care about most. I have been in this area of mid-Missouri for almost 4 years. For those of you that don't know, I am leaving TV, at least for a bit, in early April. Also, apologies if you can hear my dogs whining a bit. They're wondering what Dad's doing downstairs talking. Anyway, I came to this area 2 weeks after the Jefferson City tornado. And that was May 22nd and 23rd that was a severe outbreak on those dates in 2019. I started at my station 2 weeks after that. And one of the first things that I did was our chief meteorologist and I, we went down to the Lake of the Ozarks to set up help people set up their weather radios. And just the line of people that, I mean, the Jefferson City tornado really shook people. Thankfully, there were zero fatalities in that tornado, which is incredible. And again, that's the stat that is our goal in every situation like this. But this community was welcoming. There's a lot of tight-knit communities in this area. There are so many kind and generous and just overall great, you know, people in this area. And so anytime that there's a tornado warning, I feel that it is my duty to be calm, concise, and communicate the impacts at hand and call out locations, things of that nature. Because ultimately, I couldn't give two you-know-whats about my career advances in those moments. I do not care. I want to be the best that I can be so that people can stay as safe as possible. That's the goal every time. And now I want to bring up this clip. So this originally came from someone that recorded this meteorologist in Mississippi covering a tornado. This is at the WTVA. And not 100% sure the meteorologist's name. I do apologize. I'm kind of doing this on the fly this morning. I just felt like talking about this, so I'm gonna play. I'm gonna play this clip here for you guys. Just kind of listen in.
Radar error here. That's a huge radar error on that, but that still shows likely a strong tornado here, just east of Amory. How far to Amory are we talking about? Let's get a storm track that has everything I could put on it for a moment, and then I'm going to move that down just a little bit. Actually, I'm going to move it to the middle. I'm going to try to cram as much stuff on here as I can for a moment because I want to keep Amory City Grid on this. And again, assuming we're moving 65 miles per hour, I would say the western few streets in Amory were now less than 2 minutes away. This is a strong, life-threatening tornado that's going to move either extremely close to Amory or in through the northern part of the city of Amory. And here's the thing about this. Y'all trust me too much, okay? I tell you where it goes, and some of you are like, that's where it's going to go. But the reality is that this could be changing directions, okay? So Amory, we need to be in our tornado safe place. We got a new scan coming in here as we speak. Oh, man. Like, north side of Amory, this is coming in. Oh, man. Dear Jesus, please help them. Amen. Okay. So, it's going to track along Highway 25. Unfortunately, this is cut farther, a little bit more east. So, I have it slightly behind me there. This is going to cross the Highway 6 bridge within the next 20 seconds or so. Is that first?
So, there it was. Watching him in that clip, huge shout out to him and the other meteorologists at WTVA. Incredible work, for one, by him. But when he said, oh man, Jesus, please help them, amen, I got a tear. I got a tear in my eye. And I'm getting a few tears right now. What he was showing when he said that little prayer for those people was the debris ball that was being shown on radar from this tornado. So there's a radar product called correlation coefficient. And a lot of times you will see it named as debris tracker or you know, something of the sort on a TV banner at the top of the screen. That is what we use to see if there is debris being thrown up into the air by a tornado. And when you get a circular ball on radar, that is just, I don't know what the word is to use here. It's not an indication because it's real. That is, when it's a circular ball like that, and there's a specific return on radar, that tells us that there's a large, damaging, life-threatening tornado on the ground. And this was a huge debris ball. So it was a very large tornado, probably lofting some of that debris 18,000 feet, maybe a little bit higher, into the air. That's the kind of strength of tornado that we are talking. But the way that he was calm, he was concise, he was straight to the point, he didn't beat around the bush about anything. He put a tracker on that storm. He let people know that it's coming in less than 2 minutes. That is keeping people safe right there. That probably saved more than a few lives. I guarantee that. So here's where I want to go with this. Trust your local meteorologists in situations like this. Turn them on when there's really bad weather. Have several different ways to be informed. Social media, following some meteorologists around your area. Having a weather radio is a great resource as well. Having your local TV station's weather app. You can get alerts to your phone whenever a tornado watch is issued, severe thunderstorm watch, severe thunderstorm warning, anything like that. You can get push alerts immediately when those things are issued so that you can stay weather aware. You will get emergency alerts depending on your nearest cell phone tower to your cell phones. Now, they're not always the most accurate, but it is another way that information can get out to you. So he did such a great job, and I admire his ability to, you know, do all of that. It's incredible work. So again, I am not sure of your name, but huge, 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 huge shout out. This is where I want to go with this. I mentioned that I was leaving TV, and I want to be real here. We do not do this for money. Let me say that again. We do not do this for money. Let me give you this reality, if you don't know it already. We don't get paid anything. We get paid so little. I'm going to touch on this a whole lot more in podcasts that whenever I do them, once I am out of TV for good. I've got a lot of beef with a lot of different people. I'm not going to trash anyone as human beings, but this is the reality of our industry. Broadcast meteorologists, reporters, anchors, everyone in our industry, unless they started out in a high, or they were in a high market in the 80s, getting paid a lot. Nowadays, the pay is terrible. It's bad. It's bad. Most meteorologists starting out their careers have trouble surviving. Just not surviving, but have trouble living normally. I've heard so many stories of meteorologists that have to, you know, skip a meal here and there because they don't have the money for it. Have to ask their parents for gas money, whatever it may be. This is what meteorologists go through to do what they love and to keep their community safe. I can guarantee you that man was probably at WTVA for several, I mean, probably 10 plus hours, maybe even 12 hours. He was probably putting in an incredibly long shift, and he might still be there this morning. He might still be there this morning. And guess what? He's going to get paid like he worked an 8-hour day, normal day, with nothing going on. I can almost, with 98% certainty, guarantee you that. We don't do all of this for money. If it was about the money, I could tell you that broadcast meteorologist industry would be a whole lot smaller if we were in it for the money. We're not. We are in it to help the people in our communities. A lot of us are in communities that we didn't grow up in. We didn't have a personal connection to the community that we're currently in. We didn't grow up knowing a lot of people in the community. We didn't do that. But we care about each person in the communities in the path of severe weather. Knowledge and safety and the power in that in a tornado situation like this is so important, and we are doing our very best to get that kind of information out and to help people stay as safe as they possibly can in these situations. Absolutely devastating what went on in Mississippi last night. I will probably be going through Twitter more and probably be getting more information. But seeing some of the damage in a place like Rolling Fork, Mississippi, I mean, the town is just wiped out. The town just looks like it was almost taken off the map. And I pray for those people. Lord, be with them as they try to pick up the pieces and pick up their lives. And I pray for the people that lost a loved one last night. Weather, the atmosphere, it's incredible. It's incredible. I am taken aback all the time when I say beautiful and amazing things that weather can do, but weather can also take lives. It can also take lives. And that's something that it just is one of those harsh realities. So yeah, I think I'm going to wrap up things here. You know, I'm sure I want to apologize if anything that I said came off a little bit harsh. I just obviously I'm very passionate about this, and again, I just want to leave this with my prayers for everyone impacted in Mississippi and any other state that had a tornado cause damage last night. And huge shout out to the broadcast meteorologists that worked last night covering these tornadoes and did their absolute best to keep people safe. Shout out to all the EMS and first responders, including some of those storm chasers that were first responders. Last night, you certainly are heroes in these situations as well. And I thank you. I thank all of you that put in the work and the hours to help save lives in these situations. So that's going to do it for this installment. of the Morning Cup of Joe podcast. I want to thank you all so much for listening. And yeah, just make sure you've got ways to be informed and stay safe in these types of situations. We'll talk to you all soon.